everybody out there, and welcome to another episode of the Gym Fear Podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in. I do appreciate you guys showing up. And just to let you guys know, I am not on the wine tonight. I actually went out and picked up a bottle of whiskey. My dad came home and spent the weekend with us over Easter. And we got a nice bottle of Rumpelmans. And I got myself a bottle of Evan Williams. And we sat down and I finally got him to watch Mad Max Fury Road. Which is a fucking awesome movie, and fuck anybody who says otherwise. Yeah, Mad Max is the shit. I wish there were more Mad Max movies, man. And I know I'm getting off into the weeds, I'm just getting distracted because I'm drunk and I'm tired from work, but yeah, Mad Max is fucking great. I actually think that, what's his name? The guy who played Max in the new one. Tom Hardy. That's his name. I think Tom Hardy did a good job playing Max. He didn't talk as much as Mel Gibson did. But if you've never seen the first one, because there's actually 4 Mad Max movies, and there's actually people out there who didn't know that. I didn't know that for the longest fucking time. I thought Road Warrior was the first one. Road Warrior is not the first one. There's Mad Max, then there's Mad Max 2 The Road Warrior, then Thunderdome, then Fury Road. And you should go and find Mad Max, the original movie, because that tells the story of how he became Mad Max, and, you know, it's pretty tragic, and it doesn't really have a happy ending, but it's still a brilliant movie, and Mel Gibson is so young in that one. He's probably about my age, maybe just a little bit older. But anyway, yeah, no, we're not gonna spend the whole fucking podcast talking about Mad Max. Just the Fury Road is awesome. I'm glad that I finally got to sit down with my dad and watch it, because he's a huge Mad Max fan. And we just drank, you know, it was me and him and my brother and my brother's girlfriend, and we just sat down and drank Rumpelmans and watched Mad Max all night. It was brilliant. Also started watching Daredevil. I didn't get to see all of the first episode. I had to, you know, dip in and out of the room at parts. But I was really, really impressed with the first episode, so I'm going to keep watching that. Daredevil looks fucking badass, and I know we're, like, fucking 2 seasons in or whatever at this point. I heard that they brought the Punisher in, so I'm excited to see how they portray Frank Castle, because Frank Castle has always been one of my favorite Marvel anti-heroes. Way more badass than Batman. Frank actually, as psychotic as he is, he actually solves the fucking problem instead of just throwing the Joker into Arkham Asylum, which he's gonna break out again and then go on and fucking kill more people, because that's what the Joker does. And I know the whole meta argument about Batman needs the Joker because the Joker is what Batman could become if he stopped caring. Basically, like, no, there's a line. Like, Punisher doesn't kill good guys. Punisher doesn't kill innocent people. The Joker kills innocent people. That whole argument about Batman being so fucking crazy that if he just let go of his principles just a little bit, just enough to put people like the Joker and Scarecrow and Penguin and Mr. Freeze and people like that underground, so where they couldn't hurt anybody else, means that Batman is a weak fucking person. He is a pussy. And he is too afraid to do what is required to protect the citizens of Gotham. That is what Batman is. And I have no idea how I fucking got off on this. But yeah, Daredevil is cool. Daredevil looks badass. I like the guy who's playing him. He's got kind of a funny face. Like, no offense to the guy, but his face is kind of funny. He doesn't really remind me of... He doesn't really look like Matt Murdock to me. But, eh, whatever. I can get over that. It's just every time I see, like, GIFs or pictures of him, like, in the whole Matt Murdock suit get up with the cane, I'm like, wow, that's Daredevil? Really? Really? But nah, it looks badass. I can't wait to keep watching it. If I ever have any fucking time to do anything fun ever again, which it's not looking good in that department, but... But yeah, I did have a couple of things that I wanted to talk about. First of all, well, I wanted to get to the Michelle Fields thing that's been going around, because nobody will shut the fuck up about it, and I figure I might as well throw my 2 cents into the zeitgeist for whatever the fuck good it'll do. But before that, I got a comment this week. Hang on, and if you'll bear with me, I'll cut this out. You guys don't actually have to sit through this, but I'll go and find the comment, and I will read it out to you guys. And I responded to this guy, and if I keep talking, then there's going to be nothing to cut out. But let's see, which video was it? It was, I think, I want to say it was on the Time Machine. Don't worry, I don't have my sound plugged in. Yeah, here it is. It's by Sovereign Jared Kwan. Cool username, by the way. And he says, Jim, I'm surprised you don't make rebuttal vids since you're Anatomy of a Clown Shoe. What caused the lack of interest? And I told him basically that, like, it's not a lack of interest, guys. It really, really isn't. It's just a lack of time. I don't have time to devote to videos like that. Because the creepypasta thing, like, okay, let me explain to you guys, for those of you who didn't watch the episode of this podcast that I did with my friend Dimension Bucket, which you should all go and watch anyway, because Dimension Bucket is fucking awesome, and we get into some really interesting talks about podcasting in general, and writing, and audio editing, and he's a fucking wizard. Like, he's actually a legit audio wizard. I think he graduates Hogwarts this year for audio engineering. But the way this works is there are people out there whose entire channels are based on response videos, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not knocking those people. That actually does take a lot of work. But people like Teal Deer, TL:DR, go look the guy up on YouTube if you haven't yet. He's awesome. He puts out good content. He's got a great voice and a good sense of humor, even if his videos are usually more on the serious side of things. But basically what happens is you have to actively go out and find those videos. And I did this for a while when I first joined YouTube. I would watch people who did response videos, and I would respond to the people that they were responding to. I would just go and download the original video and do my own response to it. Or occasionally I would go out and look up videos to respond to. That shit takes a lot of time, because you gotta have a lot of time for that shit. And I know I'm talking in circles here, but the way most people who do stupid political videos, like most feminists who make videos, they do a Gish Gallop. And for those of you who don't know what a Gish Gallop is, a Gish Gallop is basically where someone throws so much shit at you all at once that if you try to catch everything and break it all down and explain it, you'll be there until the end of time. They try to bog you down with a bunch of shit that doesn't really matter, or doesn't really have any bearing on the conversation at hand, and they try to bog you down on that so that you're not able to respond to their real point. And if you want to actually get into how all of this relates back to the original point, which sometimes it does, there are people out there who do the Gish Gallop, and it all somehow does tie back into their original point. But if the video is about abortion, then you're guaranteed going to get shit like the wage gap, you're going to get women's health, you're going to get Planned Parenthood, you're going to get all kinds of shit. And this is just kind of a general outline. This isn't 100% accurate, but yeah, you're going to get all kinds of shit in this Gish Gallop. And breaking all of that stuff down and writing the script for that takes time. Then you have to, well, the way I would do it, and I'm probably doing this wrong, is I would write the script out, and then I would timestamp every break into the original video that I wanted to do. So if somebody said something that went from 0 seconds to 5 seconds, and then I wanted to break in and do, like, a funny line, or, you know, address what they said, or tell them hi, or what the fuck ever, I would have on the script you know, 00:05, and then write out what I wanted to say. And then I would do that for the entire fucking script. So I would watch the video, and I would write the script while I was watching the video, and I would keep track of the timestamps, and then I would have to go in, and the timestamps are very rarely exact, so I would have to figure all that shit out. And then it's just a matter of recording the script and editing both of these things together. And if you have a camera, it's easier, because then you just have two video files with audio attached in your editor, so you only really have to edit two files. But if you're doing, like, what I'm doing now, I don't really have my camera. I mean, I have my camera, but I don't know where it's at the moment. So I would have to put up that little boilerplate image of, you know, that chibi image of me drinking a beer with a cigarette, and edit the audio. So it would be putting both of these images in, which adds another layer to the complexity of the editing process. It's not that complex, but it's just, basically it means that it's going to take me more time to get through it. And on top of that, it's time that I don't really have, what with the day job and shit going on at home, finding good stories to narrate, planning for the next audiobook, which I have to because I'm almost done with the time machine, recording the podcast, and then, because this podcast usually goes on for about an hour or so, editing the podcast, which I usually do on Friday nights, because this is all done on the back end, so that I can deliver you guys a good audio experience where you don't have to put up with all my ums and ahs and as few mouth noises as possible. Because as much as I try to be professional, I'm still pretty amateur. And it's just, like, on top of all of the stuff that I'm already doing for this channel, which includes going out and finding these stories, narrating them, and narrating a story that is, the final product is, like, let's say, 7 or 8 minutes long. Like, perfect example. You're Not Scared Right, the one that I uploaded Wednesday, which I think you guys should go check out, because I'm getting back into creating soundscapes as opposed to just, you know, a guy reading a story, which is what I really love about doing this kind of thing, is that that's a lot of fun. Getting all of the sound effects just right is so much fun. But I had to re-record that story 5 times to get the proper narration down. There would be too many mouth noises while I was actually delivering lines. There would be all kinds of shit wrong with these audio files that I was too much of a professional or too much of a perfectionist to just be like, okay, fine, fuck it, we're going with this anyway, because I couldn't deal with it in editing. So I know you guys wouldn't be able to deal with it in actually just listening to the finished product. Or maybe you would. Maybe you would be able to deal with it just listening to the finished product. I don't know. I don't fucking know. I don't know how much attention you guys pay to that kind of thing. But I try to... It's the principle of, like, the... What do you call them? What the fuck are they called? Stagehands. Stagehands on a theater stage, like Broadway. If everything goes right, you will never fucking notice those people. You will never notice them. But if shit starts to go wrong, then it starts coming out that, hey, what the fuck were these guys doing? Weren't they supposed to be doing their job? Nobody notices when everything's going right, but as soon as something goes wrong, all hell breaks loose, essentially. So I try to operate on that principle so you guys don't have to put up with that kind of stuff. But I was talking about how much time it takes to do a proper narration with music and sound effects and things like that. It's not easy, and it's time consuming, and it eats up a lot more free time than people think, which is why back when I was in college and I had homework and shit and, you know, reading that I had to do, I wouldn't be able to do it as much. And that's why I went for months without uploading anything. I just didn't have the fucking time on top of school. But now I'm working a steady real job, and I don't take my work home with me. I'm not one of those desk jockeys who has to bring home a bunch of papers and work on them in my free time. Because if you're not paying me, then I'm not fucking working right now. Essentially, is the way it goes. And that's not something that, well, that is something that that I instill as a standard, but that's also what I was told by my boss. So, anyway, my job aside, yeah, finding all of that shit would be very time-consuming. And I already only get about six and a half hours of sleep a night, if I'm lucky. Occasionally, I'll get a good 12, because I'll just be so fucking tired that I'll go to bed as soon as I get home, and then wake up and go to work the next day. But I don't like doing that, because I don't get much done. And I like getting things done. I like this new workaholic mode that I've engaged in, and putting out things three times a week. It makes me feel fucking great. It makes me feel like I'm fucking taking this seriously, and I'm bringing a certain level of quality to it. And I'm sticking to this schedule, and I don't know, it just feels like I'm taking this a lot more seriously than I did when I first started out and started getting subscribers. And now that growth has basically been completely kneecapped, because I stopped, essentially. That growth has been kneecapped. I don't get many views a video, but that's okay with me. That's okay with me, because I enjoy fucking doing this, and for you guys out there that do watch, that do take time out of your finite lives to enjoy the content that I'm putting forward. For those of you who do comment, who do like the videos, you're who I'm doing this for. You know, at this point, I've got like 668 subscribers on YouTube. And my last narration got, I don't even fucking know. Okay, it's Thursday, so the video's only been up for a day, but it's got 7 views. At the moment. Those 7 people who watched that video, you're the ones I'm doing this for. Those 7 people who watched that and enjoyed it, those are the ones I'm doing this for. I'm also doing this for myself. But there are people out there who enjoy what I do. And some of them may just be my friends. Some people may feel sorry for me. But I don't care what their reason is. I still want to deliver a quality product that people enjoy listening to, and that's kind of a big ethos with me. And that's why I stopped doing this. Part of the reason that I stopped doing this a while back was because I didn't have the time to put into delivering a serious quality product. And I didn't want to short you guys on content or quality of content, so I just kind of drifted off into the ether, but now I'm fucking back with a vengeance. And it feels awesome. So yeah, I hope you guys will forgive the lack of response videos. I do kind of want to do them. It's just like I said, that takes time. And I'm currently working on all of the shit that I'm doing for this channel. Plus, I'm out of the house like 12 hours a day. I'm just gone from like 7:45 in the morning to like 7:30 at night. I'm just gone. That's why I ordered a... what do you call it? A foldable Bluetooth keyboard that I can, like, carry around in my back pocket and connect up to my phone, because I got this app called Wordsmith, and I can write while I'm on break at work, so I can, you know, go on my lunch break, and I stay on site when I go on my lunch break. I don't, like, I go off and I pick up a sandwich or something if I didn't bring my lunch, and then I come back, and I sit there and eat, and then for the last, like, half hour, I'm just kind of sat there with my eyes closed, you know, listening to talk radio or a short story narration or something like that on a pseudopod or escape pod or Mr. Creepypasta's story time or something like that. And I got this keyboard, so now I can actually work while I'm at work. And some days we have slow days where I'll just get all of my work done, like, 2 or 3 hours early, and I won't have anything to do but just sit there. And I could get, feasibly, like, 3,000 words done. I can do about 1,000 words an hour if I have an actual keyboard and I don't have to type with my thumbs. And this is important now because I'm helping out a buddy of mine, who was the last guest on the podcast. He was talking about putting out another album. And he does have albums. You should go check him out, dimensionbucket.bandcamp.com. He has stuff. Check out his website, and there will probably be links. It's just dimensionbucket.com. But he's putting out, like, folklore tales. And he came to me the other night, and he was like, hey, do you want to do you want to contribute to this? Do you have any stories that you would like to see on this? Because I'm kind of blanking. I'd like to put more on, but I'm kind of blanking out on what I should put in here. And I was like, well, do you have Taillipo? And he said, no, I don't. Do you want to do Taillipo? I was like, yeah, fuck it, I'll do Taillipo. So I started looking around for Taillipo. And for those of you who don't know what Taillipo is, Google it. I'm not explaining Taillipo right now. But it's a great story. It's a story that I grew up with because I live, like, just off of Appalachia. So I kind of grew up with that story. And it scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. But I started shopping around, and I could not find a fucking public domain version of the story. But the story concept itself is in public domain. So you can do whatever you want with it. So what I'm doing is I'm writing my own version of Taillipo. And I'm going to send it off to Bucket once I'm done. Just first draft, like, tell me what you think, what do I need to change, give me some notes. And I'm planning on taking those notes into account and working out the story, and then it'll be, you know, Taillipo by JimFear138, read by JimFear138, kind of thing. I might even release a snippet of it on here just to advertise for the album that Bucket's doing. And then maybe, like, 5 years down the road, I'll just release the whole fucking thing. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. But I am definitely doing a version of my own version of Taillipo. Let me see if I can figure out how many words I actually got down today. Yeah, I wrote today mostly while I was at work and on break and shit like that. 1,200 words. 1,200 words. So I'm pretty proud of that. If you can get, like, 1,000 words a day, you're doing pretty good as a writer. 1,000 words a day is pretty decent numbers. But yeah, that's happening. And whether or not Bucket wants to use it for his album of folktales, I'm going to use it one way or the other. So it's either going to go on the album or it's going to go up on the YouTube channel. So Bucket can have his pick there. But I keep getting sidetracked. Jesus Christ. Come on, Jim. Think. This is what happens when I don't drink whiskey for a long time. And then I just get a bottle and start drinking out of it. I tend to ramble. But you guys who watch the podcast, you know that I fucking ramble all the time. That's not anything new. You're probably sitting there like, yes, we know. You're talkative motherfucker. You like to go on and on and on about nothing, like I'm doing right now. But in regards to the political stuff, because I said when I came back in one of my podcasts, it was probably the first one, that I'm not really feeling putting the political shit on another channel. I still have that other channel because I'm subscribed to a lot of people that I'm not subscribed to on my regular channel, and I like keeping up with their videos and stuff like that. But I also have a blog. It's jimfair138.blogspot.com. I only have a few posts up there, and the only ones that are really worth a damn are In Defense of Eve Ensler, which I know. I know, trust me, I know. And Why Feminists Are Never Satisfied. And what I've been thinking is that because I've got ideas for articles like that, and I listen to a lot of people who just continually spout off shit that gets me excited, that gets my muse ramped up and moving, that I would start doing narrations of those. Just put them up here. Call them, like, Jim Fear Originals or something like that. And, I don't know, put those out, like, every other Friday or something. It'd give me incentive to actually work on the blog, and it would be some extra content for you guys. Every couple of weeks, you would get a new kind of political video to generate conversation. And even if I'm wrong, I'm perfectly fine being wrong. Just so long, and I will even issue retractions. Like, that'll be one of the first things in the podcast is, okay, I was proven wrong on this. Thank you for correcting me. Kind of thing. I don't have any problem being wrong. I've been wrong a lot, and I think part of the problem with internet discourse, not to diverge into this topic for too long, is that people are really afraid to be wrong because being wrong about something undermines your credibility somehow. As if we're not all human and we don't make mistakes or we don't get our shit twisted sometimes. Often through no fault of our own. So, you know, I try to avoid that. I've been wrong a lot. I've been called out for being wrong. And I usually try to take it gracefully. I'm just like, oh, well, okay, yeah, I hadn't considered that. You got a point there. Not to try to be a better interlocutor than the other person, but just to kind of admit my own failings, you know what I mean? Because I do fail a lot. But anyway, I've already got those two posts recorded, and I have to edit them and get them ready to go up, but those will be coming out sometime in the near future. Yeah, so I'm going to be doing that a lot more. Well, not, like, a lot, but more often. So they'll still be political shit. Maybe every once in a while I'll see something on, like, Honey Badger Radio or Xerxes Channel or Dr. Randomer Cam or, I don't know, John the Other or something like that. See something on Tumblr that's just too fucking egregious and I have to script a response to it. And then I'll make a good old-fashioned rebuttal video, and then it'll be good fun for all. So yeah, now that I'm done bloviating about all that mess, I really wanted to get into this Corey Lewandowski, Michelle Fields thing. So, for those of you who don't know, Michelle Fields is a former writer for Breitbart.com, a site that I actually quite like. They gained a lot of street cred when they were the only people out there honestly covering Gamergate. That's kind of where they made their fame. I know they were around before that, but they kind of really blew up. Like, I had been involved in kind of the social justice side of the internet, not on the social justice side, just in that whole sphere, like the social justice people and the anti-social justice people, for a few years, and I'd never heard of Breitbart before Gamergate. And then Milo Yiannopoulos started covering it, and that's kind of how I found Breitbart. But Michelle Fields is a former reporter for Breitbart, and she was at a Trump press conference thingy in Florida, I believe. And the press conference ended. This is my understanding of things. The press conference ended, and Fields wanted to ask Trump another question about, what was it? Well, I can't remember what the exact issue was. I've had a little bit of whiskey. Forgive me. But I remember the big points about this. And she got through the Secret Service cordon and reached out to kind of like grab a, and I watched the video, and what it looks like to me is that she was just going to reach out and tap Donald Trump on, like, on his like tricep or on his back or something like that. Just reach out and tap him, like, hey, I'd like to ask you this question. You know, she was cleared. They clear all of the reporters that come into these kind of things. So she wasn't exactly a threat. But Corey Lewandowski, who is not with the Secret Service, who is Donald Trump's campaign manager, and so far as I know, he doesn't have a background in law enforcement, reached out, and he grabbed Michelle Fields by the arm, like, by her upper arm. Like, if you look at the video, it's quite obvious that he did not reach out and grab her forearm. He reached out and grabbed her, like, around the bicep, tricep, the upper arm area, and yanked her back, and she almost lost, well, she lost her balance, but she didn't fall. She just almost fell. And it blew, it really should have been nothing. Like, I am so disappointed in everybody on every side of this. Like, I have not found one single person other than Stefan Molyneux. And even him, I disagree with several things, because he's a Trump supporter, but he's also Canadian, so it doesn't really matter who he supports. Not the trash Stefan Molyneux. I love the guy's show. He gets some weird callers. But I've been listening to Glenn Beck talk about this. I've been listening to Mark Levin talk about this. I've been listening to Ben Shapiro talk about this. I've been listening to, like I said, Stefan Molyneux talk about this. It's a fucking circus. The way that this should have gone is that, you know, the thing happened, right? Lewandowski reached out and grabbed Michelle Fields and he pulled her back. and it didn't seem that violent. It just seems like she was, because she was wearing high heels. So, I mean, it's pretty easy to unbalance somebody on high heels. They're, you know, high center of gravity, really, really tiny kind of connection to the, not a wide base. It's really easy to unbalance somebody on high heels. So that happens. He reaches out and grabs her and pulls her back. She doesn't fall down. She kind of gets up. And if you listen to the audio, she was not upset. She was just like, wow, what the fuck? You know, what the hell was that? And then the guy next to her is like, yeah, he just grabbed you and, like, yanked your arm and shit. Like, yeah, that's so fucking weird. Why would he do that? Or, you know, shit like that. It's really, really calm and kind of joking and laughing. It's not, like, I think it was either Mike Cernovich or Vox Day who tweeted out after that, that, you know, oh my god, it's such a tragedy that Michelle Fields got her arm ripped off and was beaten to death with it. Because that's how people are acting. That's how people like Glenn Beck and Mark Levin are acting over this. And same with Ben Shapiro. Like, Ben Shapiro white-knighted hard for Michelle Fields. What should have happened after the whole thing goes down is she gets in touch with him over social media, and this did happen. She got in touch with him, and he was like, this happened. He said, you know, I don't know you, I've never met you, I never touched you, was the gist of his tweet back to her. But, as more evidence came out, it turns out, yeah, that did fucking happen, mate. But I don't think that Lewandowski was purposefully lying. I don't think he even knew who Michelle Fields was before all this shit went down. Which is perfectly reasonable. It's perfectly, reasonable kind of way to look at this whole thing. But, what should have happened is she should have said, hey, what the fuck, dude? Why did you just grab me like that? And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you or anything. You okay? Yeah, I'm fine. All right. Well, you know, I'm sorry. It won't happen again. You know, I'll like send you a bottle of wine or something, like a care package or whatever. Or I'll do you a solid and see if I can get you like an interview with Trump or something like that. Because Trump, God knows Trump loves free press, and he's given fucking interviews to everybody who wants one. Well, not quite. He won't come on Glenn Beck's show, and he won't come on Mark Levin's show, even though he's been invited. Not a, just about not an episode goes by of Mark Levin's show. And that dude's got, like, millions of listeners. Not an episode goes by where Mark Levin's like, he's welcome to come on. He used to come on the show. He hasn't since he started, you know, running for president. He's more than welcome to come on and talk about this. Mark Levin's even offered to mediate a debate between him and Ted Cruz. Donald Trump just won't do it. Because he's a pussy. But, that aside, that's something that Lewandowski could have done. That's something that he could have, you know, extended an olive branch, like, you know, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you, I'm glad you're okay, you know, won't happen again. Just kind of smooth everything over, don't make a big fucking deal about this. That he makes a big deal out of it, and Trump, like, no, I support my guy, he did the right thing, he did nothing wrong, and, you know, Lewandowski didn't do nothing. And then Michelle Fields goes on the news. And I swear to God, like, the attention whoring on her, it was just so thick. You could fucking smell it. It was sickening to watch. Like, especially watching the video of the incident that happened. Hearing the audio of her and that, her boyfriend, who's also a reporter for, like, the Washington Post or the Washington Examiner or something like that. It's Washington something, I think. I don't know. He's not important. So I didn't pay attention to where he came from. But watching the video, listening to that audio, and then, like, the reactions, watching the reactions break down, is just like, everybody is acting like a fucking child in this. Michelle Fields is not a girl, and people need to stop using this language. She is not a fucking little girl, okay? She is a grown-ass woman. She is a fucking adult. She's my age, for God's sake. People would never accept, if I was in her position, and I got yanked back by Lewandowski, and I come on the news, making a big fucking deal about it and getting the crocodile tears ramped up and saying, oh my god, this is apart from the death of my mother, this is the worst thing to ever happen to me. It's like, bitch, you have led the most carefree life in the world. In the world! If the worst thing to ever happen to you besides the death of one of your parents is some guy grabbed you on the arm and almost pulled you off your high heels, get the fuck out of here. You are not serious, you goddamn lying attention whore. You fucking lying attention whore. And she's not, like, she doesn't deserve special treatment because she's a woman. She broke the security cordon around the presidential nominee candidate, the guy who's running for the Republican nomination, who has the most death threats out of any candidate. Out of most of them combined. I'll guarantee you that Cruz, Clinton, and Sanders put together don't get nearly the amount of death threats that Trump does. Not fucking nearly. And I'm not supporting Trump. Just, I want to make that fucking clear. Everybody acted like fucking children in this. I am not happy with the way that Trump handled this. I'm not happy with the way Trump does most things. So I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm not one of those guys who's out here defending Trump. I'm a never Trump person. If Trump gets, like, the Democrat Party is fucking dead to me. I will never vote Democrat again in my life. But, I've been forced into this area where the only candidate who actually appeals to me on any level is Ted Cruz. That's it. I will never vote for Donald Trump. That man is just as fucking distasteful to me as Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders are. Exactly as fucking distasteful. I'm one of the never Trumps, so I'm not defending Trump on this. But, that being said, my personal feelings about Donald Trump do not negate the amount of hate and just visceral, just plain fucking hatred that this guy gets. He gets all kinds of threats all the fucking time. He's probably the most hated presidential candidate in the history of the Republic. So, reporters notwithstanding, if somebody reaches through the security cordon and acts like they're going to touch Donald Trump, they should not be tolerated. They very well could be a threat to his fucking life. And I don't want to hear any of this big macho man bullshit. This traditional man, oh, big fucking swinging dick bullshit about, oh, the 120-pound woman or the 100-pound female reporter from Breitbart. Fuck you. Fuck you, okay? Women can be just as dangerous as men. Women lie, women cheat, women kill. All right? And that's something that you're going to have to fucking accept if you're going to be one of those people who's like, oh, why is Trump threatened by a woman from Breitbart? Why is he threatened by a little girl like Michelle Fields? First off, she's not a fucking little girl, okay? She's not. Michelle Fields is a grown-ass woman, and it is more than plausible that she could be a threat to Donald Trump's life in any given number of situations. So yes, fucking security did not do their job, and Lewandowski did their job for them. That does not mean that he was right. Although, the way I understand battery, the way it was quoted to me, is that simple battery is acceptable in defense of someone whose life may be in danger. And if Donald Trump's life isn't in danger every second of every day, then you're fucking nowhere. You're in outer space. You're on fucking Pluto. Dude, I don't know what universe you're living in, but give me some of the shit that you're smoking, because I want to be that high. There's every possibility that Michelle Fields, or any given woman, could be a perfectly viable threat to Donald Trump's life. That could happen. And sitting there like, oh, why is a man afraid of the woman? Fuck you, dude. Get the fuck over yourself. Get over your macho bullshit, okay? Women are just as dangerous as men. That's one of my biggest problems with how people are handling this, honestly, is that they're treating Michelle Fields like, oh, she's just some weak little girl who got manhandled by that big, mean Mr. Lewandowski. Dude, get over it. All right, and maybe this is just me. Maybe I'm just one of those people who, when women said, we want to be equal, I took them at their fucking word. I took them at their fucking word. Okay, ladies, you're equal now. That means no more fucking special treatment, so you better bring your own money for drinks to the bar, and you better be willing to pay half the tab on the date. We're fucking equals. That's how this works now. That's what you said you wanted. No reneging, no special treatment. And I extend that to all women. So the way people are treating Lewandowski like she's just some... Or not Lewandowski, Fields. Like she's just some poor, pathetic little girl who just got her arm ripped off and she was slapped around the room by this vicious, rapacious ogre who probably kicks puppies in his spare time. No, he was defending his boss. And maybe he was defending him from the uncomfortable question that Michelle Fields was asking. Because, admittedly, that could be a very uncomfortable question for Donald Trump. It was, not Planned Parenthood. It was, I can think of what it is, but I can't think of the specific phrase that it is. It's where you consider people, for things like jobs or college placement based on things that they can't control. Affirmative action. That was it. That's it. I knew if I started rambling about it, then I would eventually come up with the answer. But I didn't want to sound stupid. But I just wound up sounding stupid anyway, so I might as well fucking go ahead. It's my podcast. I'll do whatever the fuck I want. But yeah, she was going to ask a question about affirmative action. And that could have been a very uncomfortable question for Mr. Trump. So, maybe Lewandowski heard what she asked him and just snapped out and grabbed her and yanked her away, and Donald Trump kept moving, just completely oblivious to what was going on behind him. And that's really no fault of his. I mean, he was turned the opposite, the complete exact wrong direction to see everything. He wouldn't have seen any of this because he wasn't facing this way. He had shit going on literally all around the room. He can't be everywhere at once. So, once again, I don't think Trump is a good candidate for president. I don't really even personally like the guy. I kind of actively dislike Donald Trump. I make fun of him just about every chance I get. But in this instance, Trump wasn't wrong. And whether or not Lewandowski was wrong will be decided by the legal system, not by me. Because frankly, my opinion on that doesn't really matter all that much. But it really pisses me off that people keep using the phrase, this big 200-pound man is picking on this girl. She's not a fucking girl. She's not a child. She's a reporter. She's a grown-ass woman with a fucking career. And, like I said, I don't think anybody was right in this. I don't think that Ben Shapiro should have left Breitbart over this. I don't think that was the right thing to do. I think it was especially fucking scummy of Breitbart, and this honestly lost me a lot of respect for Breitbart, like, almost complete respect loss for Breitbart, because Ben Shapiro's dad wrote for Breitbart under a pseudonym, and after this whole Michelle Fields thing went down, Ben Shapiro quit on basic principle, like, and I gotta give respect to the guy. You know, he may be a white knight from hell, but he has principles and he sticks by them, so good for you. But his dad quit behind him. And then Breitbart still owned the byline that his dad, the pseudonym that his dad wrote under. They still owned that column. So they had somebody else write an article and published it under that pseudonym, making it look like that was Ben Shapiro's dad talking. That was pretty fucking scummy. That was dirty of Breitbart. And then Michelle Fields getting on TV and attention-whoring about, this is the worst thing to ever happen to me. And then, like, the way Trump has just completely doubled down and not, oh, like, their story kept changing. And then they realized they were going to have to give out the fucking evidence tapes, whether they liked it or not. Because like Mark Levin says, yeah, the cops are going to get those tapes, whether you give them to them or not. They will subpoena them, and they will come and take them, whether you like it or not. So it's so magnanimous of you to just give those up. But everybody's fucking wrong here. Everybody. This should have never blown up into something that I've spent almost a fucking half hour talking about on my personal shitty little podcast back in the ass end of YouTube. It's so fucking stupid, and I just had to vent about it for a little while. The whole thing. But the gynocentrism is really what ticks me off about this. Like, I don't care that Lewandowski was brutalized. I don't care. Or not Lewandowski, Fields. I don't care that Fields was brutalized, okay? I don't care about the fucking bruises on her arm. I don't care about her fucking crocodile tears. I do not care if Lewandowski goes to prison for the rest of his life. Do not care. It's not my fucking problem. Trump's not my candidate anyway. Technically, none of them are my candidate. I'm just backing Cruz because I don't really see another choice. Ben Shapiro is acting like a total fucking white knight, and even though he's been wrong about this on several accounts, he just keeps doubling down and making fun of Trump's people. And it's just so fucking frustrating to have to sit there and listen to this. And all of these people who are coming out in defense, because God knows when a white woman gets manhandled against her will, you know, the entire fucking world has to stop dead. And we have to, oh my God, you're such a victim. Can we put a pillow underneath your ankles? Here's some chamomile tea. Do you want a back massage? What can we do to make you feel more comfortable? Everybody needs to get over this fucking... And the real problem here is for Trump, honestly, because it's well documented that men have an outgroup sex bias towards women. Men prefer women over men. It's a fact. Women prefer women over men. Fact. I'm not making this up. You can look it up for your fucking self. It's a fact. There is an in-group gender bias among women. That's where the whole sisterhood thing comes from. That's how feminism is viable. It's a natural... It capitalizes on a natural part of female nature, is what feminism does. And Trump is anti-capitalizing on this. Like, he's being the anti-capitalist. He's capitalizing on the bad side of that, where, like, all anybody ever talks about is, oh, Trump hates women. Trump attacks women. No. Trump attacked certain women who deserved it. That doesn't mean that Trump hates women. Women in general. It doesn't make Trump a woman hater. It doesn't make him a fucking misogynist. It just means that he doesn't like those particular women over there. But of course, the identity politics people out there will capitalize on this in-group bias that women have and go, hey, women, he said this nasty thing about Rosie O'Donnell, who totally deserved to have that nasty thing said about her, because she totally is that nasty thing. And he's going with his campaign manager, who, you know, for all we know, tried to protect him from what he saw as a credible threat. And he's talked about what's her fuck, Megyn Kelly. And he doesn't like Megyn Kelly, and Trump has a problem with strong women. No, Trump has a problem with people who talk shit about him. That's what it is. And it's really fucking petty, and I don't like it about Trump. But that doesn't mean that he hates women. And I'm really getting sick of seeing the whole misogyny banner applied to every single person. Just because the quote-unquote leftists out there do something like that, doesn't mean that it's right for you too. Okay? All you fucking conservatives out there. And I don't sit on either side of this fence. I'm in the middle. So I get to bitch at both of you. Especially when you're both being fucking stupid. So sit down and take your fucking medicine. For all of you who identify with neither of these groups, I'm sorry that you have to sit through this, but somebody needs to be scolded because they're acting like fucking children. So just sit down and enjoy the shit show. Now the rest of you, especially you fucking conservatives, you people who like to go on about, oh, we have principles and we abide by principles and conservatism isn't an ideology, it's principles. Alright, look, motherfucker, when you're engaging in exactly the same kind of behavior that your opponents on the left are doing, when you're playing this identity politics game, when you're accusing Trump of being a misogynist because he has problems with certain women, not women in general, when you're accusing Trump of maintaining a war on women, yeah, I can understand how that's good politics. That's a good strategy right there. And I would engage in that because I don't subscribe to the principles that you people do. Not all of them. And that's something that I would definitely use because I read The Art of War. Because I read the Book of Five Rings. Because I've delved into the 48 Laws of Power and the, 35 Rules of War. I read strategy. I know strategy. That's a good strategy. That's a really good strategy. Because of that strategy, Donald Trump has a 70% disapproval rating with women, which means he will never win a general election. Women are 54% of the voting bloc. You do the math, asshole. But when you, who proclaim to have all of these principles and, oh, my farts smell delicious, we're so good and righteous, Yeah, while you're jacking off about your fucking principles and turning around and calling Donald Trump a misogynist and claiming that he's engaging in a war on women because he has problems with certain women who are probably horrible fucking people anyway and deserve the kitchen sink that he's throwing at them, you're doing the exact same thing that you give your opponents shit for. Which makes you a fucking hypocrite. And I hope that tastes fucking good. Because I'm sick and fucking tired. Sick and tired of hearing you people go on about your fucking principles. We have principles this and principles that. And the left doesn't have any principles. And that's why they're evil. And that's why we're good. And then turning around and doing the exact same thing that these leftists are doing is fucking sickening, and you should be goddamn ashamed of yourselves. If you want to talk principles, then walk the fucking walk, bitch. Man up. Woman up. Do your shit. Live by your fucking principles. Stop with these petty fucking attacks to score political points. If you want to talk about how the truth is so great and the truth will set you free, go by the truth, motherfucker. Stop coloring it with your bias. Stop playing into these identity politics that the left does. Okay? Because you look exactly the fucking same to me. And my opinion doesn't matter all that much. Really. It shouldn't matter all that much. I'm just some no-name dickhead on YouTube with a podcast. I'm just a voice actor. An amateur voice actor. A kind of bad voice actor, if I'm being perfectly honest. But, because I'm not on either side of this, I can look at both sides and see where you're failing. I can see where you're being hypocritical. So, take my shit talk for what it is. It's shit talk. But at the same time, did I lie? Did I tell an untruth? Or was I too mean? Get over it. I didn't tell a lie. Not knowingly, at least. And if somebody can prove me fucking wrong, hey, you proved me wrong, congratulations. Cookies in the mail, and I'll be putting out a retraction next week. But if you're going to talk about principles, then live by your fucking principles and stop playing into this shit. Stop using your enemy's tactics against them just because they're effective. Stop using your enemy's tactics against your enemies within your own camp just because they're effective. Live and die by your fucking principles if they're so goddamn important to you. Otherwise, stop fucking talking about it. Because all this goddamn moral posturing and virtue signaling is getting sickening. And I didn't get into listening to people like Glenn Beck and Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro to find out how fucking righteous they think they are and how good they think they are. And they're so above all of this bullshit that everybody else engages in. I got into this to hear different opinions on matters. I didn't get in this to listen to you motherfuckers jerk yourselves off. Okay, I want opinions from both sides so that I can be more informed. But if all you motherfuckers are going to do is just sit there and jerk each other off about how fucking righteous you are and how amazing your principles are while you're not living by them, what the fuck am I wasting my time with you people for? I got other shit I could be listening to, you know. And that's not to say that this is all these motherfuckers do, okay? This was just a significant portion of the podcast of Ben Shapiro and Glenn Beck and Mark Levin for the past, like, 2 or 3 fucking days. So, yeah, for all of my liberal friends out there who are getting worried about me because, oh, he's listening to the conservatives and he agrees with them on some things. Yeah, for you guys, you just got to hear me bash conservatives for a straight, like, 10 minutes? Something like that? So I hope you guys enjoyed that. It was kind of bashing both sides, but really, like, somebody needs to slap these people upside their goddamn head, man. Somebody needs to just go upside their head. I wish I had the fucking reach to do it. Because honestly, I think that rant broke down pretty much what's going on in both of these camps right now. The left uses identity politics to virtue signal about how much better they are than the right, and the right uses identity politics to virtue signal about how much better they are than the extreme fucking crazy wingnut right. Motherfucker! And I'm sitting here in the middle like, guys, they're winning! The real dangerous people are winning! While you're over there worrying about some dude who doesn't have a fucking chance in the national election, they're winning! Did you see the numbers for Hillary and Bernie right now? They're winning! You guys need to stop! You guys need to stop worrying about him! Or at least deal with him honestly and quit pretending that you have principles. Fuck's sake. I don't know. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean to get bogged down in all of that. Well, yes, I did. I did totally mean to get bogged down in all of that. At least I'm honest. I totally meant to get bogged down in all of that. And it was fun, and it feels like a weight has been lifted off of my shoulders. But the political discourse in America right now is so insane that really, a lot of the time, I wonder why I fucking bother. Why am I involved? Why am I listening to these people? I could go and listen to Mr. Creepypasta, you know? Or I could go listen to Pseudopod or any of the other horror podcasts out there. I could be making my own. Well, no, I can't. I listen to these guys while I'm at work, so I'm just basically sitting there stacking shit. And, got my headphones in, and I'm just kind of listening to these guys go off. So, yeah, let's not leave off on that, because I don't want to leave you guys with bad taste in your mouth this week. So I'll tell you about something that was really fucking cool that, I listened to earlier, and I'm sorry if you hear my phone noises, because I'm going to have to get my phone out to tell you guys about this, but it should be okay. No, I don't care about whether or not everything was synced. Does not matter to me. Let me see here. There should be a played episodes to be deleted thing way down at the bottom, which there isn't, because I have to scroll for fucking ever, because I have like all of these episodes of the Thrilling Adventure Hour downloaded to my phone, because I'm going through that. Let me see. I'll find it. I will find it, guys. I swear to God I'll find it. We will not leave until I find it. It wasn't Pseudopod. Escape Pod, that was it. The Escape Pod podcast on iTunes, they have a story up that I just listened to today. It's episode 526, The Hunter Captain. by David John Baker, narrated by Matt Weller. Holy fuck, I wish I could write like this. I really wish I could write like this, guys. It was insanely good. It's a science fiction podcast, so for those of you that are into it. And the guy who read it, Matt Weller, I think was his name. I haven't been paying attention. Did an amazing job on the voice acting. It was unfucking real, dude. It was such a well-written story, and he brought it along with the exact right amount of emotion and lack of emotion. And the story is basically about these aliens. The Namprath, I think they are. And they're like hyper-evolved versions of deep-sea creatures. And they have an organ in their brain that generates their consciousness. And because they have this organ in their brain that generates their consciousness, they run around the galaxy, and they look for other beings that are sentient, like them, that have this organ in their brain that generates their consciousness. And everybody, every race that doesn't have this are just animals to these guys. It's not like you can be intelligent, you can carry on a conversation with them, but they don't view you as anything more than an animal. Like, you can't even, according to them, you can't even feel in any real proper way. Like, they are the Übermensch, according to their propaganda. And they come into contact with a human, and she's initially really, like, really happy and, you know, oh wow, this is really interesting, you guys are weird, I never met anything like you before. And eventually they discern that she doesn't have this thing in her brain that generates consciousness. Like, they don't get the idea that the entire brain can generate the consciousness. And that's how they justify basically eating other intelligent life forms and making slaves out of other intelligent life forms. They're not people. It's kind of like when in Dragon Ball Z Abridged, when Raditz shows up to Earth and he meets the farmer. And he checks his power level and is like, oh, that's cute. He thinks he's people. Yeah, it's kind of like that. And it's just an amazingly well-written story. The really cool thing about it is that it's written from the perspective of the aliens. So you kind of get drug into their world, and you're forced to see things from their perspective, and kind of understand their philosophy from within, as opposed to without, and you find out how normalized this is for these guys, and it's just really, really interesting. It's some of the best writing I've seen in a long fucking time. It's absolutely incredible. It's right up there with Alice Isn't Dead, and which is another great podcast by the people from Night Vale that you guys should all go check out. And no, I'm not being paid for any of this stuff. I just find this shit. It shows up in my podcast feed, and I listen to it, and then sometimes I come here and I tell you guys about it. But yeah, go check out the Escape Pod podcast on iTunes, and listen to The Hunter Captain, because it is incredible. It'll knock your fucking socks off, especially if you're a fan of really good sci-fi. It's awesome. Definitely worth the fucking 40 minutes or so, 35-40 minutes that it'll take you to get through the story. It's incredibly, amazingly awesome, and I cannot heap enough, what are they, adjectives? I have a command of the English language, but I'll be goddamned if I can tell you what any of the parts of speech are. I know, I'm horrible. But, yeah, so that's about it for the podcast. We'll be going on for about an hour and 10 minutes here. So I think I'm going to go ahead and cut it here. Thank you guys for letting me get that whole shit about the Fields-Lewandowski debacle off my chest. I hope you guys will enjoy the content that I'm putting out. I hope that you have been enjoying the content that I've been putting out. I hope that you guys will go check out Escape Pod. And no, they're not paying me to do advertising for them. I wish. Trust me, if they were, I would make that very fucking clear, because I would be so insanely proud that somebody thought my shit was good enough to to sponsor. But yeah, you guys would know. But yeah, go check that story out, because it was awesome. And you can check out my Bandcamp. I've been meaning to get some other shit up there, but life keeps getting in the way, as it so often does. All of that will be linked in the description. Go on and read the blog post. If you go over to the blog, you can get a sneak peek at two of the videos that will be coming up. And they're not going to be anything fancy. It's just going to be me reading these thoughts that I've put down out there in the internet. There will be a link to the blog in the description. And yeah, thank you guys very much for taking time out of your finite lives to come over here and listen to my pointless rambling. If you haven't yet, you should go and check out the episodes that I did with Cloud Cuckoo Country and Dimension Bucket. They are up on the channel. And I hope that you guys have a wonderful, wonderful fucking weekend. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. I'll catch y'all next week. Peace out.